interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report, burning sparks of violence. National...
secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Here is a case from Los Angeles, and it sounds like the plot of a horror movie. A family claims a woman was prematurely declared dead at a hospital and woke up in a body bag, only to die in a freezer where her body was stored. Now her outraged and grieving family has received the go-ahead to proceed with its lawsuit. Maria Arroyo's family claims she was prematurely declared dead and put in the mortuary alive. The family's attorney says the woman's body was found upside down in the body bag, a different position than she was put in. The 80-year-old woman was found with the body bag approximately halfway open, consistent with her struggle to get out, and the expert says that Arroyo died not of a heart attack, but asphyxiation and hypothermia. A judge initially dismissed the case, but the appeals court reversed it and sent it back for a jury trial. The family's attorney said this case deserves a jury verdict. How creepy and disturbing and truly nightmarish is that? You live your whole life and you end up thinking maybe you're going to die in the peace of a hospital. No such luck. But we have plenty of crazy stories for you tonight. That's what we do on this program. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua.
So does that sort of make the hair stand up a little bit on the back of your neck, the idea of dying that way, Forrest?
It does. I mean, who pronounced her dead and why? I don't know. I mean, would she have died anyway? I mean, that's just, I guess that's up for the jury to decide. That's just, I can't fathom that.
It's a very complex case. You're right. I mean, there are a lot of things to go through and sort out regarding, you know, who is responsible when somebody goes to the hospital and is already, you know, 80 years old and presumably dying at that point. What are the expectations What are the responsibilities that everybody involved has related to how it's handled and how death occurs when it happens? So, very weird stuff. You there, Mr. Connor, are at the flagship Asheville station, and I am joining you from Puerto Rico. Investigator Shelley Wright is in the field doing some research this evening, so it's just you and me tonight, old pal.
Yes, and we wish Shelley the best of luck with her research.
Yes, we do. Maybe she'll have something fun to report back to us soon.
If anyone sees her out there doing the research tonight, offer her a kitten. That'll brighten her evening up.
Yeah. It was just open the back of your white van with a little kitten and tease her into it.
Kitties.
Well, you know, Forrest, a lot of bad and weird stuff is happening anyway. It's April.
Right.
And, in fact, as if, you know, when we were talking about the fact that April was always going to be weird, and this one's probably going to be especially bizarre, and some bad things have been happening. You know, we've had, like, a shooting and a stabbing and all this kind of stuff making the news. Well, did you also realize, Forrest, that this coming Tuesday is going to be the first of a series of what they call blood moons?
What is a blood moon?
A blood moon is a lunar eclipse that at some point is specifically aligned so that the moon turns blood red at some point, I guess, just before or after, at some point in this process. And what is so surprising about this particular series of blood moons is that the King James Bible predicts the sun, and I'm quoting now, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord comes. And it turns out that according to NASA, what we're going to see here is an unusual tetrad. Four successive total blood red lunar eclipses, each followed by six full moons. And that is going to start this coming Tuesday and finish on September 28th, 2015. They say this incredible alignment has only happened a handful of times in the last 2,000 years, but remarkably, on each of the last three occasions, it has coincided with a globally significant religious event.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, where is this first one going to be visible from?
Well, we're going to talk more about this hour number two, so I don't want to get too much into it, because we want everybody who is tuning in tonight to know that hour number two of the program, we're going to dig into exactly what all this means. When can you see this? Because everybody in North America should be able to see the first one. I'm going to explain to you when you can see this, how you can see this. And we're going to dig into some of the prophecy and prediction that this might be sort of ushering in and why some people are freaking out about it. And we're actually going to use that to discuss, in general, a lot of weird, mysterious things about the moon that you probably don't know. Why that there is some decent evidence that the moon might actually be some kind of a spaceship that has at least been used in the past, maybe is still actively being used, in addition to the fact that there is, at very least, probably some kind of military activity that's going on up there that we just don't know about. So hour number two, we're going to talk about all this bizarre moon stuff. We're even going to play, at one point, hour number two, a clip from Bill Clinton, something that he recently said about aliens. If you missed this on TV, we're going to play this for you. It's always interesting when a president or former president talks about aliens. So, and hour number two of the show tonight, Forrest, we are going to also speak with a gentleman named Richard Porter of LenvilleMountainResearch.com. Of course, you know, this alien abduction movie's out. It's doing great. It's a big hit. And this fella, Richard Porter, has created a business sort of taking people to Brown Mountain, taking them on tours and telling them about the mythos behind the lights. He has property right there next to the gorge. And this is the kind of thing that, you know, I've done this sort of thing myself on occasion from time to time. But this guy is the first guy we know of who started up a regular business. So he's going to come on and tell us a little bit about that because his business is about to debut. And who knows, Forrest, maybe you can even go and check this out.
All right.
So, yeah, we have a lot to dig into tonight. But let me ask you this, Forrest. How is weather in Asheville these days?
Oh, well, the past few days, like the later part of the week, has been nice. I think, Wednesday afternoon, I know, was real nice. And the weather's been pretty good. I mean, it's warmed up the past few days.
Well, apparently, even in Oklahoma, the weather is doing pretty well. I have a story here from Bixby, Oklahoma. A man is in jail there because he impersonated a police officer. Why? So he could demand a discount on spray tan.
Okay.
Now, you know, actually, maybe that means the sun's not doing so well in Oklahoma if you need spray tan. 25-year-old man. They say he's accused of stealing an officer's badge and then allegedly donned it, hoping for a discount at a local tanning salon. The tanning salon manager said the guy walks in wearing the badge and demanded he only be charged $10 for a $34 spray tan and that he wanted a special police department rate. Well, the manager stepped away to call authorities. And when the manager came back, he noticed there was a bottle of spray tan missing, okay? So the cops, the real cops showed up, arrested the guy. The guy told the police that he found the badge at a car wash. Officers contacted other officers, and they confirmed this badge had been stolen. How stupid is that? A guy steals a freaking spray tan bottle with his fake badge. Amazing. We're obviously coming up on a break here. But when we come back, I want to tell you about a man in Maine who went to withdraw some money from an ATM machine. What would you do if the money starts spitting out of the machine and then it just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming? And there's news from Harvard Library about some of its books. What does it have to do with human flesh? I'll explain. You're listening to the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, and the downright weird. It's going to be a good one tonight, my friends. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
All you need.
the heart of the Bermuda Triangle, the Isle of Enchantment, Puerto Rico. Hitchhiking the extraterrestrial highway, I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange. Welcome back to the program, and keep in mind, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more information on topics discussed, and links to the official Haunted Asheville Ghost Tour. Boy, are we doing well with that now. It's just, amazing the flood of people who are coming in to do our ghost tours, see the Mystery Museum. You can find all that at hauntedasheville.com if you want to come hang out with us in Asheville. But yeah, you can find our Facebook page, Twitter, etc. And remember, there are podcasts there of this show going back for years ago. So I hope that you will take advantage of that. I mentioned before the break, one of these incidents that seems like it just would come out of a comedy. It's from South Portland, Maine. A man went to an ATM there. Okay, this was, I'm trying to see what time of day this was. I think this was sometime in the evening. And police actually got a call from a woman who said that the man was spending an unusual amount of time at the ATM. Turns out he had a good reason. The guy had requested $140 from the ATM. Then the machine gave him his $140, and then another bill and another bill, and they just kept spitting out until this guy actually ran off and grabbed a shopping bag and came back. When it filled up, he grabbed another shopping bag and came back.
What?
What a scene, huh? The guy's racing back and forth with shopping bags till he collected $37,000. Isn't that just incredible? I'm imagining that's in $20 bills, so that must be quite a stack. They say it came out just like the machine was just printing money for him. And the cops got a hold of the man, and the bank officials say there was some kind of a line error that happened, and they believe that no customer accounts were affected. They say they've got the money back from the man. They don't want to press charges. The man has not been charged yet, but police are continuing to investigate this.
If the bank's not going to press charges, what can the police charge him with? I mean, what?
Well, I mean, that you know, it's a very good question, Farsh. You know, what responsibility do you have legally when an ATM accidentally gives you more money than you requested?
Right.
You know, that's not your fault. And so are you supposed to just walk away and let it all fall into the street?
Right. And let bad people get it. They can go and buy drugs with it.
Yeah. Or I would use
it to feed my wife and kids.
And, well, obviously, nowadays, there's no way that you can go to an ATM, put your card in, and get money, and they are not going to know about it. I mean, for one thing, you're identifying yourself by putting the card in, and the whole thing's on video.
Right.
So, I mean, basically, I think that probably the best thing to do is to collect the money and then either go straight to the police department and report it, or go straight for the freaking border and disappear.
But honestly, what would you do if you came to the ATM and there's just money sticking out of it?
That has happened to me.
It's happened to me also.
Yeah, and I've gone up to an ATM on a couple of occasions when there was a $20 bill there. And I took it. You know? I mean, really, how big is this operation going to be for me to go back and figure out whose $20 bill this is? Did I break the law by doing that?
Well, no, the person that was there before might have been a generous person and wants to pay it forward or whatever.
That's the way I look at it. It was a donation to the Joshua P. Warren Fund. Yeah.
Right.
But now if I went up and there was just, you know, $37,000 blowing in the wind all over the place, as much as I would love to just do what everybody would love to do, scoop it all up and celebrate, you just know that, you know, you can't get away with it. It's not, it doesn't belong to you. It's got to belong to this. And let me put it this way. There's a difference between somebody taking their money out and accidentally leaving a 20 behind and there being $37,000 there, because obviously nobody's going to go to a teller and take out $37,000. So you know this is bank money that is not supposed to be out there.
Right.
I think when a person goes up there and they put their card in and their money comes out, at that point the bank, I presume, is no longer responsible for anything that person is responsible for it. You know, once that money's shot. But if it's the bank's money that's shooting out all over the place, I'm sure there must be some kind of law, because, you know, I doubt that's the first time it's happened. But it's fascinating.
Well, and I think the woman that reported him was just jealous.
Yeah, well, she didn't know exactly what was going on, supposedly. She just saw something weird happening. Yeah. Here is a story from Harvard University. It says there's something undeniably creepy about big, expansive libraries to begin with. The hushed whispers, the almost artificial quiet. But when it comes to creepy libraries, Harvard University might take the cake. They say at least two of its books are bound in human skin. Three separate books were discovered in the library there that had strange-looking leather covers. And upon further inspection, it was discovered the smooth binding was human flesh. In one case, the skin was harvested from a man who was flayed alive. As it turns out, the practice of using human skin to bind books was actually quite popular during the 1600s. And it proved somewhat common when it came to anatomical textbooks. Medical professors would use the flesh of cadavers they dissected during their research. Harvard's books deal with Roman poetry, French philosophy, and a treatise on medieval Spanish law. And they say here, the book that has the skin from the flayed man is 794 pages. And the final page includes an inscription in purple cursive. Quote, "The binding of this book is all the remains of my dear friend Jonas Wright, who was flayed alive by the Wavuma on the fourth day of August, 1632. King Mabasa did give me the book, it being one of poor Jonas' chief's possessions, together with ample of his skin to bind it. Rest in peace." End quote. See, it's too bad Shelley Wright can't comment on this, because the guy's name is Wright. Jonas Wright was his name.
Right,
maybe
right.
An ancestor. Right, right. So, according to the director of the university libraries, there are almost certainly more human flesh books out there. They say it is possible to touch at least two of the definite identified skin books in Harvard's rare book room, but the librarians are not happy about all the attention they're getting.
They should be thrilled that they're actually bringing people into the library to actually check out some of this stuff. It's reawakening people's, I don't know, love for books.
Well, you know, it's interesting to think of it that way, because I spent a good chunk of my life growing up in the library. I mean, I was a library nut, and you may have been the same type, Forrest, but, you know, especially considering I was always researching and, you know, writing books and stuff. I mean, I was, as soon as I had access to libraries through my school, and then when I got old enough to drive, you know, going to the public library, I was always researching stuff. Now, it's been so long since I've been to a library, because you have the internet.
Right.
And it has taken the place of the library. And so, yes, you'd think anything that drives folks back to the library is a good thing. But in this case, some people feel that, well, the human skin's a little bit too creepy. Well, when we come back from this break, Here's a story about why some people are saying Starbucks has become a little bit too satanic for them. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Listening to Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual, presented by Wright's Coin Shop, where your money becomes more money. You can call Shelley Wright there at 828-298-5402. That's 828-298-5402. And I highly suggest that you do that, because if you listen to last week's show, you'll know my feelings on where the value of gold and silver is going very soon. Forrest, you know, I travel a lot. As a matter of fact, since doing last week's show, I already went to West Palm Beach, Florida, where I filmed a television special for the Sci-Fi Channel that's going to come out this summer.
Right, West Palm's a nice area.
It definitely is. I was really impressed.
There's actually more women than men there.
That's what I understand. Demographically speaking, yes. It's a wealthy, very clean place. More women than men is, I'm sure, an asset for men. And, I was surprised by just how big and nice and spacious the restaurants and, and bars were. And it's just a great nightlife down there. Or I guess I should say up there, since I'm down here. I'm the one
down there
in Puerto Rico.
Up there for you.
Yeah. And, you know, I've just done a lot of different travels. I mean, literally, I think like over the past 3 weeks, I can now say I've been from... I've gone to San Juan, to Dallas, to Denver, to Boise, to Los Angeles, to Washington, D.C., to West Palm Beach, Florida, to Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, that's not all the places I've been to. And whenever I go through an airport, and my goodness, I'm tired of flying. Even though I'm going to be flying again here soon, I'll mention why in a moment. Whenever I walk by Starbucks in the morning, oh my gosh, the line it's the biggest line of any of the shops or restaurants at the airport. I mean, it's all the way down the terminal. And people don't even mind. I mean, most people would see a line like that and be like, screw that. I'm not going to stand in this line. The Starbucks people, man, those are addicts. And they will stand in that line, and they're all just fiddling around on their cell phones because they got to get that fix. Fortunately, that is not one of my vices. Are you a Starbucks person, Forrest?
I have a confession. I have never had Starbucks.
I have had Starbucks, I think, twice, and on both occasions it was because I was having business meetings, and the person I was meeting with wanted to meet at Starbucks. So I've never initiated the Starbucks experience.
I've never tasted Starbucks coffee, never had the desire for Starbucks coffee, never ordered Starbucks, never have ever been associated with it.
Yeah, well, it that way.
I mean, it's not that I'm against it, it's just I haven't had the urge to go pay $5 for a half a cup of coffee.
Yeah, five if you're lucky. And, you know, like you, I got nothing against Starbucks, but they must be selling crack. So, you know, I say don't even get started on it. They don't need any more money. They're fine. Starbucks is such a part of our American culture that people now, they talk about, you know, McDonald's, Walmart, and Starbucks. It's like, you know, the three big American companies you're going to find everywhere. You go to some tiny little island, you know, in the atolls in the Pacific, and you're going to find, you know, McDonald's, a Walmart, and a Starbucks. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you get the point.
Well, no, how many are in Puerto Rico?
I'm not sure how many there are.
Or let's just say in Boca Raton, where you're at.
There are none in Boca Raton.
No, there's nothing like within 20, no Starbucks, McDonald's, or Walmart.
Oh, 20 miles
of you.
No. There's a McDonald's nearby, and there's a Walmart about 15 minutes from here.
Okay.
Yeah. So we definitely have. I don't know about the Starbucks. But because Puerto Rico makes coffee, and there are a lot of local coffees here.
Right.
But anyway, here's this story about Starbucks that I saw. It's from Louisiana. A school teacher there was appalled, they say, after recently being served two Starbucks drinks that were allegedly marked with satanic symbols. And I guess, you know, with some of these drinks, they can draw a little, they drizzle a little something on top. One featured a 666, and the other had a star that appeared to be Lucifer's pentagram. Says here, quote, "The star is almost okay because it is in the Starbucks logo. The 666, however, was quite offensive," she wrote. And she goes on to say, "I am in no way judging his," I guess she's talking about the clerk's, "beliefs or dismeriting his beautiful artwork. I am, however, judging the barista's lack of professionalism and respect for others," end quote. Starbucks has now apologized. They say this is not the type of experience they want to provide any of their customers with. Which, I mean, obviously that is not professional, but if I went to Starbucks and the guy put a 666 on the foam of my drink, I wouldn't make a national news story out of it. In fact, I tell you what, Forrest, is our connection okay?
It is.
Okay, I got to check once in a while, folks, because I'm in Puerto Rico. I'm way out here in the middle of the Atlantic. You never know. There is an Applebee's that I go to from time to time, and it's a great Applebee's. The food's fantastic. Everybody's nice. But you sit down there to eat, and I don't know who's in charge of the music, but they start playing music, and it's like hardcore ghetto rap. and they're using, you know, the N-word like a dozen times and talking about, you know, the bioches and everything. And I'm thinking, wow, this would create so many lawsuits if I just took my cell phone out and just recorded a few minutes of this. You know, here I am sitting here at this restaurant and listen to the music that's playing in the background. But I've never done that. And frankly, you know, it doesn't really bother me. It's just weird. Some people, however, oh my goodness, they would explode. They'd go nuts over that. Are you the kind of guy who would turn in a satanic barista for us at Starbucks?
No.
Yeah. We have bigger fish to fry, don't we?
Yeah, I have better things to do.
Well, you're not a Starbucks guy. Are you a squirrel eater, Forrest?
No.
You never had a squirrel?
I have had squirrel. I've had a couple of redneck cousins that liked to go squirrel hunting, and we'd as a kid we'd cook them, go camping and cook them up.
Oh, okay. Well, I have eaten squirrel like you. You know, I've had some friends who like to go hunt, and right now there is a lawsuit over a couple eating a squirrel. A squirrel cooking couple sued for $2 million. And it's because when this couple got into their Michigan apartment and decided to dine on this squirrel, they needed to get the fur off, and so they used a blowtorch. And they ended up burning the apartment down.
Wow.
The guy says he was trying to burn the fur off. When he went inside to prepare the carcass to eat, he left the torch unattended. And his then-girlfriend told the police she only found out about the planned meal when she awoke to find her boyfriend screaming and battling the fire on the deck. The fire spread quickly, causing serious damage to the apartment complex, displacing 29 renters. So, you know, again, that's Michigan, but I could definitely see something like that happening in West North Carolina, East Tennessee, Southern Virginia, et cetera, et cetera. But when we come back, I have another interesting fire story for you. The last one involved squirrels. This one involves cockroaches. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. Brought to you tonight by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. In the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's show, coming up hour number two, stick around for this. We are going to first touch base with a gentleman who is doing some special tours in the Brown Mountain area, and then we're going to talk about the blood moons. That's right. There's going to be a blood moon coming up in just a few days, and it's going to be the first in a series of moons that some strongly believe represents some biblical prophecies regarding the end of time, or at least these times. So we're going to use that also to dig into bizarre facts and mysteries surrounding the moon in general. So you don't want to miss that. Trust me. If you're online, let me also remind you, go to sunshinesimple.com and watch the video there about the Sunshine Simple solar generator for the home. It can save you money. It can save you from the hardship of having a power outage from storms. And right now, you can get it for $200 less, believe it or not, with free shipping and handling. Just go check it out at sunshinesimple.com. So we're talking about a man who started a fire by burning the fur off of a squirrel. An Orlando man, that would be Orlando, Florida, very good for us, was pulled out of an apartment fire Sunday night. Said he'd been trying to burn the cockroaches that infested his home and computer. Officers who checked the apartment after the fire was extinguished discovered deplorable living conditions, including trash and empty beer cans covering the majority of the floor in the living area and the kitchen. The bedroom where the man started the fire was filled with more trash and cans. The man will not be charged with a crime. No other apartments were damaged in the fire, but he was taken to the hospital for smoke inhalation, and police filed paperwork to hospitalize him under Florida Florida's causes as a danger to himself and others. Don't be playing with fire in your house indoors, kids, regardless of the purpose. It's not a good idea. You know, I've got another story here that I want to get to that I find fascinating, but I need to, while I'm thinking about this, remind everybody. I can't believe it's already more or less halfway through April, and I'm going to be speaking May 2nd and 3rd at the Parahistory Con in Lake George, New York, right there in upstate New York in the Adirondack Mountains. It's supposed to be absolutely beautiful there. So go to the link on the Speaking of Strange website. Go to speakingofstrange.com and check out all the people who are going to be at Parahistory Con. But who cares? All you need to know is I'm going to be there. Right, Forrest?
That's right.
Yeah, and I'm also going to be not only speaking, but leading a ghost hunt. And there's going to, in the fort, in the old fort, and there's also going to be a nice VIP session there. So be sure to visit it and check it out. Those details and more at speakingofstrange.com. So I read recently that, you know, in Britain, somebody finally got the first British dog cloned. And it's surprising to me that it's taken this long. But listen to this story. A dentist who owns one of John Lennon's teeth is looking forward to the day when he can clone John Lennon, create a little John Lennon baby, and raise the mini rock star as his own child. This man is a dentist in Alberta, Canada, and he paid $33,000 for John Lennon's tooth when it was auctioned by Lennon's housekeeper. And he said, quote, "My goal is to own John Lennon's DNA." And he believes that exclusive control of the Beatles' genome is worth millions.
So is he going to try to get the other remaining three Beatles' DNA?
That would be the next logical step, wouldn't it? There's going to be some, like, dream team of geneticists that gather up all the Beatles' genes and recreate all the little Beatles and put them together in the playpen and raise them up together to see how much more amazing it can be.
100 years from when the Beatles made their first big debut on Ed Sullivan, they're going to have the big re-Beatles anniversary.
You know, it wouldn't be that surprising. It almost seems like something that is just bound to happen one way or another. If only we could live to see that day. Hopefully I will be cryogenically preserved just so I can come back in 100 years and meet the new Beatles. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have a great hour number two for you. And we're going to talk about the Brown Mountain Light some, and then wait till you hear weird stuff about the moon that you've been looking at your whole life, but I bet you didn't know all these things that I'm going to share with you. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the program presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop. This is Speaking of Strange. 13 months old.